Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
Cristo è la nostra pace. E attraverso di Lui imploriamo pace.
Yes, Christ is our peace, and through Him we implore peace for all the world.
Good Easter Monday morning. It's April 1st, 2013. You're listening, of course, as you just heard, to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. That beautiful, peaceful voice is a voice of our Holy Father, Pope Francis. Of course, one of the beautiful messages he gave us yesterday during all of the events for Easter Sunday in St. Peter's Square. There's the Angelus, of course, and there's a beautiful Mass. And also his message to the city and to the world for Easter. So much good encouragement coming from our Holy Father. EWTN News has full coverage on their website, EWTNnews.com, telling a crowd gathered in St. Peter's Square that the grace from the sacraments received at Easter can renew relationships. He said the grace contained in Easter sacraments has a huge potential for renewal in personal life, for family life, and for social relations. Everything passes through the human heart, and the sacraments allow people to receive the grace of the risen Christ, which gives them the freedom to change those faults that can hurt me and can hurt others. He says, without grace, we can do nothing, and with the grace of baptism and Holy Communion, we can become an instrument of God's mercy. Apparently it was packed yesterday in St. Peter's Square, and all the activities, including the, of course, beautiful Stations of the Cross from the Colosseum, which is one of my favorite events during the Triduum weekend to view on EWTN. And what a blessing to be able to go there for many of these events live. So hope you had a beautiful Easter Sunday and a Triduum weekend. And we are now, of course, in the Easter season leading up to Pentecost in the Catholic Church, and we are still in the Year of Faith. So this is a great opportunity to take advantage of all of these gifts that we have in the Catholic Church for growing in closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Also, a special birthday message from an adorable little girl. Her name is Audrey Rose Kruchek, and she's the daughter of my wonderful producer, Andrew Kruchek, and his wife, Erin. And Audrey is just, well, she's just precious, and she's 1 year old today. It's her 1 year old birthday. So happy birthday to Audrey Rose. If you're listening, sweetie, Auntie T says hello and happy birthday. Means I have to get her something else when I go. I bought her a little Polish T-shirt when I was in Poland with all these little beautiful little images for children on the T-shirt, and she wears it proudly because she is of Polish descent. So, but she also has a little bit of Italian in her, too, on her mom's side. So when I go to Rome, God willing, in about a week, I will be able to get her something else. But anyway, happy birthday, Audrey Rose, who is 1 year old today. And if you call in for a question for any of our guests, congratulate the dad, Andrew, who's a proud papa. Our phone number, of course, is 877-573-7825. If you're interested in speaking with our guests this morning, Meg Meeker, and boy, this is an interesting story. We're going to have it in our news as well. But Victoria's Secret under fire again. And the good news is that the people who took action were successful. But I think this really is an example of a deeper societal problem that exists. Now, this story pertains to this ridiculous line of undergarments that Victoria's Secret was allegedly targeting in terms of young kids. They said it was only for college and high school students. Yeah, right. And I'm the tooth fairy. But parents were concerned that they were going after much younger girls. So two parents in particular, including a Protestant minister in Texas who was a dad, wrote an open letter online, and it went nuts virally on the internet, 3 million views, and he ended up on Headline News and on the Huffington Post website. Another newspapers interviewed him, including the Houston Chronicle. And there's a mom from Seattle who was fed up and started a petition drive online, and she has something like, I don't know, 13,000 petition signatures. And this is great. This is activism at its best, speaking out, making a difference, letting your voice be heard, and having other people join in, because a lot of people feel the same about this topic of the over-sexualization of girls and women. But it's a bigger sign of what's going on in our society, because it's deeper. This is great, and this needs to be done. Just like that young man down in Florida at that university where that professor actually had kids write the Lord's name on a piece of paper and then stomp on it, Lord help us, for a class activity, and one young man said, I'm not doing that. No, I will not. He was brought up on academic charges, but eventually, of course, that was overturned. The university apologized, and now thank goodness the governor is looking into it. But yes, we have to stand up. But all of these things are a sign that our society is pretty much out of control. I mean, on the one hand, you can't sit there and push for contraception and say abortion is fine and saying having relations with anyone, with whomever at any time is fine, and then be surprised when this kind of stuff happens. This is a byproduct of it's all about me and doing what feels good at the moment. And so it's going to be very interesting to get Meg's perspective as an MD and as a pediatrician, combined with a story that came out last week with more detail on the latest report from the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, regarding sexually transmitted infections. One in three Americans now, over 100 million people. Okay? So there's this schizophrenic approach. Everybody is rightfully upset with Victoria's Secret for a variety of reasons, not just this latest quote-unquote undergarment line. But on the other hand, people are saying, oh, everything else is fine, and they're yelling at the church for saying the church is in the dark ages and the church has to change its teaching on all these different things. Well, no, that's why the church won't change, because it's truth, and when you go against truth, this is what happens. Let's connect the dots and help other people do the same thing. All right, so Meg Meeker will be along to talk about this, and redefinition of marriage, of course, came up not once but twice in the U.S. Supreme Court, where they talked about Proposition 8 in California, and then the following day took up the Defense of Marriage Act. No ruling yet, not expecting a ruling until June before they recess. But we are going to take a look at the media coverage of this. How did the media cover it? We'll find out. Culture and Media Institute, they've done some research and they have some numbers. We'll take a look at their results, and then we're going to close on Monday morning. We're going to go back to the tomb of our risen Lord. Our Bible leader, Gia Buckley, is going to take us there, and she'll describe the scene Easter Sunday morning. All right, so it should be a good show. Hope you could stay tuned for the entire hour. And again, our phone number, if you have any questions, is 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. You are listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network on Easter Monday, April 1st, 2013. Right now, let's see what's happening in and around our world. Well, we go back to Rome to hear more from our Holy Father, Pope Francis, giving, of course, his first Easter Sunday homily as Pope, speaking from St. Peter's, asking for peace in the Middle East, Africa, and between North and South Korea.
Cristo è la nostra pace. E attraverso di Lui imploriamo pace.
Yes, Christ is our peace, and through Him we implore peace for all the world.
He urged Catholics also to be renewed by God's mercy and enable the power of Christ to love and transform their lives.
We ask the risen Jesus, who turns death into life, to change hatred into love.
The Pope also singling out the continuing tensions between Israel and the Palestinians, saying the conflict there has lasted all too long. Cardinal Dolan of New York says the Catholic Church cannot, quote-unquote, evolve with public opinion. The New York Archbishop telling CBS's Face the Nation yesterday that he cannot alter what God has revealed.
How to remain faithful to what we believe are God-given, revealed, settled, unchanging principles without losing our people who more and more question them.
The Archbishop, Cardinal Timothy Dolan, saying the Catholic Church must do a better job, though, of communicating those truths and teachings.
While we can't tamper with what God has revealed, we can try to do better in the way we present them, with more credibility and in a more compelling way.
Dolan responding to a question over whether the church leaders will continue to oppose the redefinition of marriage, abortion, and other issues. A new survey showing 55% of African Americans disagree with the claim that so-called gay rights are the same as civil rights for minorities, CNSNews.com reporting. The poll conducted by Zogby, commissioned by Black Entertainment Television. When BET founder Bob Johnson was asked at the National Press Club what surprised him most about the finding, he says, on the issue of gay rights, African Americans are far more conservative on that issue than I think the general population, so that was not a surprise. Well, enough is enough, and we're going to be talking about this with Dr. Meg Meeker in just a few minutes. It says one mom who has had it with Victoria's Secret's effort to objectify young women. Seattle mom Diane Cherry starting a petition against a new line of undergarments that sends a wrong message to young girls.
we have to start somewhere in saying, this isn't okay, this isn't the message we want for our young girls, and holding companies accountable to be creating products that empower young girls, not that objectify them in this way.
Her petition posted on change.org and so far has more than 13,000 supporters. Others speaking out as well, including a dad from Texas, a Protestant minister, Reverend Evan DeLeve. He is, of course, from the Texas area, the Houston area more specifically. His letter to the company went viral, getting some 3 million views just as of last week, actually.
I saw it as yet again Victoria's Secret's attempt to set up a unattainable standard of sexuality and beauty that is setting our girls up to fail.
Now, following the reaction online, the company has since pulled its Bright Young Things campaign from stores and its website. But the company says it was actually aiming at college girls, college students. But many parents said it was geared toward teenagers and kids even younger. Well, the finale of the History Channel miniseries, The Bible, left many in tears last night. Devoted watchers took to Twitter and other social media sites to talk about how the finale, which included details of the crucifixion of our Lord, how that made them feel. Twitter was said to have exploded with activity during the scenes of the crucifixion. The miniseries has surprised TV experts. Imagine that. They're surprised that faith still matters. Woohoo! Newsflash! They had consistently high ratings with more than 10 million people watching regularly during this series. Now, this is the type of thing where you can jump on this and let the History Channel, and I believe it was Lifetime that also ran it, let them know how much you appreciated the series, if you had a chance to see it, and thank them and say, you know what, we'll keep watching if you play other quality series like this one. In other news this morning, crews will begin searching today for more remains of victims of the World Trade Center bombings. Families of people killed in the 2001 terrorist attack have criticized the way the city handled remains in the past. They want an independent monitor to oversee the search through rubble at a landfill on Staten Island. In Texas, a sweeping investigation is underway into the weekend murders of a district attorney and his wife. Kaufman County DA Mike McClellan and his wife Cynthia found fatally wounded Saturday at their home near Forney, Texas. They were killed 2 months after the county's assistant DA, Mark Hasse, was gunned down. Now, the mayor of the town says the killings don't appear to be random. Prosecutors announcing today whether they will pursue the death penalty against the accused Aurora, Colorado movie theater killer. A judge entered a not guilty plea for James Holmes last week after his lawyers claimed they were not ready to enter a plea. Holmes accused of opening fire in the movie theater last summer, killing a dozen people and wounding 58 other people. A deal on comprehensive federal immigration reform gaining some steam on Capitol Hill. Senator Lindsey Graham says he's confident that Congress will have a bipartisan immigration bill that can pass.
It secures our borders. It controls who gets a job. As to the 11 million, they'll have a pathway to citizenship, but it will be earned, it will be long, and it will be hard, and I think it is fair.
South Carolina Republican telling CNN's State of the Union business and labor have signed on to key elements, and lawmakers could have a bill drafted as early as next week. Graham said the bill would include a guest worker program allowing employers to find workers for hard-to-fill positions. 14 minutes past the hour, it is a Monday morning, a very special Monday morning, an Easter Monday morning, of course, on the EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. When we come back, we'll find out why what's happening lately with Victoria's Secret is just an example of a much bigger problem. Pediatrician and sister in the Lord, Meg Meeker, MegMeekerMD.com, joins us up next on a Monday.
We have to start somewhere in saying, this isn't okay, this isn't the message we want for our young girls, and holding companies accountable to be creating products that empower young girls, not that objectify them in this way.
That's Diane Cherry. She's a Seattle mom who started a petition drive speaking up against Victoria's Secret and a clothing line, undergarment line, that says they were only targeting college girls. Mm-hmm. And I'm the tooth fairy, as I like to say, or the new queen of England. Parents recognized that this was problematic and that they were actually going after a younger market. So this mom started this petition drive online, as you just heard in our news segment. She had something like 13,000 signatures already. Then a father, a Protestant minister down in Texas, Reverend Evan DeLeve, spoke out online, wrote an open letter. He's a dad, has a young daughter, a three-year-old daughter, and was just outraged by this. And his letter went viral, something like 3 million views, and he made it on CNN and Headline News and the Huffington Post and Houston Chronicle and all kinds of different news outlets speaking out against this. But, Meg, I know that you're familiar with this story, but should we really be surprised, given the way our culture... I mean, this is great the parents are speaking out. Don't get me wrong. This is necessary. Yeah. But at the same time, this is just an example of a larger and deeper problem.
You know, it really is. And you know, you can see this. We could see this coming over the past 10 years as things have become, you know, stores and clothing companies have become increasingly aggressive at marketing to younger and younger kids. And, of course, using sex in their marketing schemes. You know, I've historically sort of left Victoria's Secret alone when I've been very critical of the sexualization of young girls because up till now, they've really pretty much targeted adult women, and they've said that. You know, we're targeting adult women. Now, they're not targeting adult married women, but adult women. And so I thought, well, you know, adult women can choose a little more freely. But when it comes to young girls, this is really not okay. But it is. It's just going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. And I'm so happy to see parents speaking out, like this pastor and this mom who's, you know, started these petitions because it's exactly what we've got to do. If we just sort of sit here quietly on the sidelines and go, well, isn't that horrible, isn't that horrible, and really don't put any effort into telling these companies that this is not okay, we're gonna see more of this kind of thing happening.
This thing, it ties into everything that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. So, you know, the attacks on the church and Christianity in general, but especially the Catholic Church with a new pope. I mean, this is why the church teaches what she teaches. And so what I always try to do, and I know you do the same thing in your work, is try to help people connect the dots. One of the reasons you have this problem of Victoria's Secret targeting younger and younger girls is because as a society as a whole, we've accepted do whatever you want, whatever feels good, whatever feels right with whomever. This whole mentality of it's all about me and that sexuality is whatever you want to make it. And then on top of this story, you have another story that came out. Well, the report from the CDC actually came out a couple of weeks ago, but a lot of the top, interestingly enough, conservative talk show hosts, not necessarily Catholic, but with other networks have been talking about this in relationship to the election of the new pope. You know this because we talked about the numbers. The number of infections, STIs, sexually transmitted infections, huge now. 110 million in this country.
Yeah.
In February 2013, the CDC published two studies that provide an in-depth look at the severe human and economic burden of sexually transmitted infections in the United States. Now, it costs us about $16 billion in direct medical costs alone, about 20 million new infections in the U.S. per year. Yeah. Now, the latest number suggests there are more than 110 million total STIs among men and women across the nation. So that's one in three, basically, if you think about the population of the U.S. now.
Exactly. Exactly. And really only about 15 years ago or even 10 years ago, that 20 million was 15 million. You know, and as far as you're talking about connecting the dots, and I love that because you're absolutely right. When you live without, when you say to your culture, you know, your church teaching doesn't matter, God doesn't matter, and that's the source of our moral guidelines. Our moral plumb line is based on the teachings of the church. I mean, that's where it comes from. But when you erase that and say morality doesn't matter, sexuality doesn't matter, you know, sort of anything goes, there are no rules, there's no right or wrong, this is the kind of chaos that erupts, and it erupts not only in the adult population, it erupts really in the young population, in the kids. And when we think about it, we have studies that show people say, well, what's the big deal, you know, marketing these things to young girls? We know that marketing sex to kids changes their behavior. In other words, marketing sexual stuff to kids, it increases sexual activity among young kids. You increase sexual activity among young kids, and the incidence of sexually transmitted infections among those young kids goes through the roof. And when that goes through the roof, these kids bear these problems. They have emotional scars. They have physical scars. About one-third of infertility in adult women is caused by sexually transmitted infections that they had when they were younger. I mean, this is an enormous cost to these kids. And, you know, again, I try to liken it to the same thing with cigarettes. Can you imagine if we, you know, marketed cigarettes to young kids and that we were out there sort of at the same time immunizing them against lung cancer, just like with children. We're marketing sex to them, but we're immunizing them with the Gardasil. And we'll have more immunizations against other sexually transmitted infections, I'm sure, in the future. So we immunize them against these sexually transmitted infections, but continue to market sex to them. It's completely unacceptable. And these poor kids just don't understand what's happening. They really don't understand when a 12-year-old girl wears a pair of underwear that says, I'm trying to remember what these things say.
No, it's pretty disgusting. Yeah.
Call me, or something like that on the back of her underwear. She has no idea the ramifications of wearing something like that.
But see, it's so important right now, I think, to bring these stories to light because, again, yesterday Cardinal Dolan was on CBS News and they're asking him, this drives me nuts, the same question, well, when is the Catholic Church going to change it? And this, that, the other thing. And Dolan's like, this is truth. We can't change truth. However, he did say we need to teach it differently in terms of helping people better understand why the Church teaches. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to say, okay, here is the fallout of what happens when you don't follow it, and you put out this information from a secular perspective, the Victoria's Secret thing, the CDC, without even really bringing up religion if people are unchurched or start to roll their eyes in the back of their head when they hear that. But it's very important to show how the natural law, when we go against it, what happens.
Absolutely. You know, there's been a, I think there's a public perception, and I'm sure the media tries to do this too, that the Catholic Church teachings are there because God created sex, but he's really trying to tell people that it's not good, that it's shameful, that it doesn't lead to freedom, and that what America is all about and living in America is pursuing your freedoms. Well, exactly the opposite has happened. God is teaching us to preserve our sexual freedom, but that sexual freedom does have constraints on
it. That's right.
It
does, and it is meant for our good, but in terms of for procreation and within the marriage. I mean, but people don't want to see that. And even the interviews that I did, Al Cresta and I were doing a series of interviews during the papal conclave, and there's reporters who were raised, quote-unquote, a Catholic. Some of them, while there were some who were Protestant who had the same attitude, were like, well, what's the big deal? Everybody. One reporter actually said to me, everybody's doing this. And so I basically said to him, not in these exact words, but I said, well, you know, if all the kids were jumping off the bridge, would you jump too? It's infantile,
exactly.
This attitude.
It is infantile, and that's not that's not true that everybody's doing this.
Exactly.
You know, among high schoolers, it's about half and half. So let's talk about the half that aren't. I'm writing my mother's son book, and my editor sent back this chapter on sexuality, and I was talking about the many kids out there who are not sexually active in high school, and she said, really? And I said, uh-huh, really? There are many who aren't, not just a few who aren't, but because there's an agenda out there to lead to public perception that everybody is sexually out of control and wild and everything. And look at the cost of, you know, the divorce in our country, too. And you know that a lot of that divorce is because of infidelity or sexual behavior that just has been, that has no control over it. Huge cost.
Meg, thanks for going, doing one segment with you today, because we have a couple of things we have to talk about, including coverage of the marriage issue that happened. And then we also have to squeeze Gail Buckley in, our Bible lady. So great to talk with you. MegMeekerMD.com. I knew she'd have a lot of interesting things to say about this challenge that we're facing. It's a sign of a bigger problem, as Meg said, in our society. Truth is truth. And we need to be able to explain it to folks so they understand and can connect the dots as well. We'll be right back on a Monday. Stay tuned. So what did you think of the coverage last week, the secular coverage of the Supreme Court taking up Proposition 8 and the Defense of Marriage Act? If you'd like to call in, 877-573-7825, Media Research Center, Coltrane Media Institute, they always do great research on how the media are covering these very, very important issues. Issues, of course, important to all of us, all in society, but especially to we as believers who consider marriage as God ordained it, between one man and one woman. Dan, good to have you on the program. A happy Easter to you. And it's interesting, I had an email from one of my listeners last week, and she said, is it just me, or is it all pro, quote, gay marriage all the time on the media now? She said, I saw very little in terms of balance or, you know, sides or people interviewed expressing opposition in terms of the secular press. So what did you think of the coverage?
Oh, sadly, it's not just her. She's actually very accurate and spot on. You know, the problem we've got, the media, they're not neutral in this. When the Huffington Post, when it, you know, the left-wing entity that it is, comes out and says the media are biased toward gay marriage on this issue, then you pretty much have to say, well, if they're willing to be honest about it, certainly we can. I mean, you look at the coverage the night of the first case last week, so it'd be Tuesday last week, it was amazingly pro-gay marriage. I mean, they had on the first hand, certainly, they covered what was going on in the court fairly well, only because they're desperate to get cameras in the courts. So they did that, but then as soon as they got outside the courts, CBS, John Blackstone, you know, they said, well, let's look at how this all happened. He proceeded to give a gay marriage story about California that showed 12 different images of happy gay couples getting married and only had one pro-traditional marriage voice in the article at all, in the story at all.
Now, there was also a Washington Post piece that declared the debate over, correct?
Well, I mean, even worse than that, the Post came out and flat-out lied in two different pieces because we had the March for Marriage last week, and we had thousands of people at it. Even the lefty press, the gay press, admitted there were thousands of people at the March for Marriage. The Washington Post, Dana Milbank, who's kind of a loon anyhow, but he referred to it as dozens.
I mean, dozens?
It's just flat-out lying. But see, this is the old, this is basically Soviet-style propaganda. If you don't let people know something happened, it didn't happen.
Right. Well, it's the same thing they do with the March for Life. I mean, what do we have this year? I think we had, because I was there covering it for EW10, I think we had over 500,000. And that didn't get a mention, but yet they had an anti-gun rally that had 10,000 either the next day or the following weekend, and that was all over the news.
Yeah, it is a, you know, thoroughly unbalanced approach when it comes to protests. The media, I mean, look at all the ink Occupy Wall Street loons got. I mean, here they are. In some cases, literally, they were a couple dozen people in protests. But because they were willing to break the law and because they were willing to act like idiots and because the media, of course, sided with them, they got tons of attention, tons of media coverage for a year. And for all that the media are supporting the 99% versus the 1%, that actually came from the media. For all that they support that, there are two articles of media belief, not Christianity, not actually any religious faith, but media belief, and that is they must be pro-gay and they must be pro-abortion.
Now, the thing is that this is nothing new to people, but unfortunately it still has a big influence. I mean, I hear from people and people say, well, you know, you're on Catholic radio, you're preaching to the choir, and that's not necessarily true. I mean, I would say the majority of our audience listens because they want to get strengthened and they want to learn more about the teachings of the church and grow in their faith, but there are still some people who claim that they're quote-unquote Catholic or Christian, but still have no problem with this. I mean, I had some emails last week that were really, really upsetting to me about, oh, it's time for us to move on away from this issue, and, you know, can't we just all get along, and what, yada, 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 what's really the big deal? And these were people who listen on a regular basis. So this desensitization, Dan, that has occurred not just through the bias in the secular media, news media, but this acceptance of this in all areas of our culture.
Well, this has been a very effective, possibly the most effective modern propaganda campaign. I thoroughly, thoroughly one-sided, where you get bombarded with it in news, you get bombarded in entertainment media, I mean, TV, movies, songs, all the celebrities come out and favor it. And I mean, you see Sam Champion, who's supposed to be, he works for ABC, and he's got one of those stupid, gay images avatars on his Twitter account, because of course Sam is also gay and married, and you know, this is what we get, whether it's Will and Grace or Ellen or any of the other ways of media propaganda. We've been bullied into accepting Hollywood morality, not faith, not family, but Hollywood morality. And if you know, they're learning from this. They've learned from this effectively that the way to convince people is to lie to them. They're going to, and they do the great lie where they only, in their world, the only gay couples that exist are the modern family gay couples, the new normal gay couples. There's what goes on in San Francisco at the gay pride parade, the debauchery and depravity that goes on there, what goes on, you know, the public nudity that finally even San Francisco had to ban. You know, that's also an image of gay culture in America. And frankly, if a lot of ordinary Americans saw it, they would not be supporting gay marriage.
Well, I also think if a lot of ordinary Americans saw what happened at the March for Life and saw the truth about abortion, then we wouldn't have, that would have been done with too a long time ago. Let's go to the phones, 877-573-7825, here on EWTN. Kurt from Boston calling in. Hey, Kurt, what's your question or comment?
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. I won't make this long, but basically what I told the screener was, you know, all these people left-leaning and that are away from the church and and cannot stand the truth have taken a good 50 years to get us to this point. We have to do the same thing. We have to face them head-on, promote the faith, defend the faith, and don't take any compromise. And it's going to be a bitter clash, but that's where we are right now. And catechism is so critical. I mean, I'm raising my 9-year-old grandson. I'm teaching him everything about the faith. The church is designed to save souls. It's the only place mm-hmm. on the face of the planet. That's the argument right there. You've got the Protestant sects and everything else. I was once a Protestant. Mm-hmm. I'm a convert. I'm basically one of your worst nightmares, you know what I mean, so to speak? But I believe the faith. I believe it's true. There is no salvation outside the Catholic Church. And when that was promoted, when the faith was king, you didn't have this garbage. And now we have it. And they're permeating it through all sects of society. And they only use us to make us look radical in our way of thinking.
But unfortunately, Kurt, we've allowed it a lot. Both Catholics
right.
and Protestants. I mean, and all of us, regardless of what church we belong to, have done this. And the Catholic Church, even Dolan said this over the weekend, we have to communicate these teachings better. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with Dan Gaynor regarding the coverage of the redefinition of marriage. Of course, talking about the Supreme Court cases, first Prop 8 that was up on Tuesday, and then DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act. How did the media do? Well, not very well at all. Surprise, surprise. 877-573-7825. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Catholic Connection, 39 minutes past the hour. Talking with Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center and the Culture Media Institute. They do a great job in terms of keeping us up to date on what's happening with our secular media. You have to consider your source when I say this time and time again. I wrote a complete book about this called Noise, How Our Media Saturated Culture Dominates Lives and Dismantles Families. I quote a lot of folks from the Parents TV Council and the Media Research Center who do great work. And we have to understand what's coming at us. And that's the thing, Dan, to be able to discern this. Not saying you can never watch a secular newscast again, but certainly understand that there's a particular agenda.
Well, yeah, and that agenda hates everything that you believe in. They don't like faith in general. I mean, you look, 80, 90% something like Americans believe in God. A very finite number of journalists believe in God. Only 55% of Americans are sports fans, yet we get a section in our newspaper every day that's filled with sports news. But we get a page or half a page or some newspapers, nothing about religious news because it's not important to them. So, I mean, you know where you stand. And I started to say during the break, you and I were talking, I interviewed Lila Rose from Live Action a while
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm.
And something she said to me really resonated, and the way she said it was important, too. You know, she said she thinks we all need to embrace what she called little martyrdom. You know, she said, in other words, not I mean, not where you sacrifice your life, but where you're willing, as that gentleman was in Florida, to be beaten up for your beliefs, that you're willing to take a stand and get criticized for them. And she said, it's hard to do. She says, it's not something she wants to do, but she has to stand up for life, or stand up for her faith and her beliefs.
Right, and we would call that in the Catholic Church white martyrdom, and then losing your life or being imprisoned would be a red martyrdom. But the white martyrdom, and that's very true, and Lila is constantly putting herself out there, praise God. But we have to be willing to do that. It's interesting, I had the former Vatican ambassador and the former mayor of Boston, you know, Ray Flynn, who's a wonderful, very strong Catholic man. And we were chatting during the break, and he said the same thing Kurt did, that we have to be willing to get out there, and respectfully, not looking, you know, and yelling and screaming at people, but being strong and saying, no, this is wrong, and this is why the church teaches what she teaches. This is why we believe this as Christians. And let's look at the evidence as to what happens when things go wrong. That's what you were saying earlier, for example. People don't see the other side of the story, so they think there's nothing wrong with it because they think that there's, you know, they don't have the information in front of them.
Yeah, and the media don't want them to have the information.
Right.
In front of them. I mean, they don't, if you were to check how many journalists or quasi-journalists have the pro-gay avatar on, you know, on Twitter and Facebook, you'd be amazed. Speaking personally, it's become one of the many reasons. I haven't been very active in social media recently, but I've just gone around. Anybody's got the Prop 8, you know, the pro-gay equal sign, I just delete them. Just that's it. I have no interest, you know, because they have no interest in engaging us. They want to bully us. They want to bully us for our faith. They want to bully us for our beliefs. And they don't want a conversation.
That's right. They don't want, I always say, my husband always says, they don't want a dialogue. They want a monologue.
Well, I mean, they're not trying. I mean, you know, you look, the left has for decades has said they want tolerance, that, you know, they try to, you know, talk about tolerance in schools and want to get rid of bullying and stuff like that. They do not want tolerance. They want mandated acceptance. There's an Iowa Safe Schools event that's happening coming up this week that, you know, it's being organized under the auspices of LGBTQ. Q, by the way, if you see Q, anybody using that, that's the most terrifying letter because a lot of them mean questioning, which means they're targeting young people who might be a little bit confused because they're, you know, they're going through puberty, they're confused about their feelings. They're targeting them for gay propaganda. So, you know, this event is bashing Christians, bashing conservatives, outright is having a session calling out Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and others. And you've got students being invited to this. You've got tax dollars being used to send students to this event. They don't want acceptance.
Is it Gary from Whitmore Lake on line one? Gary, hi, good morning. And Whitmore Lake is in Michigan,
hi.
Just outside Detroit.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine today.
You have a question?
Yes, I've seen a lot of Facebook comments, you know, supporting gay marriage, and it really is a one-way conversation, as you've said. No one really is interested in the discussion, and they have to call you a bigot because, of course, it's, in their view, a civil rights issue, and you don't really have any authority or any good way to disagree. It's a one-way conversation. Their mind is made up, and they just want what they want.
Okay. Well, it doesn't mean we don't try to, I think, and it depends on the format. It's not always helpful or fruitful to engage maybe on Facebook or whatever online, but that doesn't mean we stop witnessing. So, Dan, what would be in love, because we're always supposed to do the 1 Peter 3:15 thing, always be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within you, but to do it with respect and gentleness. What would you recommend in terms of engaging on this topic? Because we have to be out there speaking the truth.
Well, one of the first things is, this goes for the right is more so than the left. Libertarians who are supporting gay marriage don't understand that government is never neutral. That, you know, take a look at the numerous cases around the country we're already seeing where government's coming down on businesses. Either businesses are shutting down, they're being fined, they're being prosecuted because they're not embracing gay marriage. You know, again, look to the rest of the world that where they're using hate speech to prosecute people and going after the Catholic churches in Canada. You know, this is not an issue where we're going to be allowed to have our opinion. And for anybody who thinks this is okay and you consider yourself a conservative, they're going to use this exact same strategy on everything else you believe. They're going to propagandize on guns. They're going to propagandize on abortion. We're going to watch movie after movie after movie, TV shows about, oh, a family that, you know, wants, you know, teenager wants to have an abortion. It happened just recently on TV. You know, this is how they change the culture, and we tolerate it. We let them divide us because, you know, this. So I would, first thing I would say is, this is not about love, because if it's just about love, then why can't three people marry, or four, or 40? If you want to talk about bigotry, you know, the left is just applying a new moral code to replace the one that works.
So what is the best way to fight this, do you think? I mean, I know that your website is full of information, mrc.org, and I would also recommend parentstv.org in terms of standing up against the culture in terms of programming. But what's the best thing in wrapping up, Dan, that we can do as believers of the truth? And in the church, you know, it's not a conservative or liberal issue. It's a matter of truth in terms of what God gives us with marriage. And that's the approach, I think, is most important. But what's the best thing that we can do you think?
Well, we need to show both sides. I mean, and there is...
There's a concept,
side.
Huh, for the media? Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there is another side. There is the side where, you know, a gay couple is going to sue the Catholic Church to try to force them to have a wedding in the hall that the church rents out for other events. There, you know, the radical push on all these things, businesses that have to shut down. We have one right close to where I live in Annapolis, Maryland, you know, that shut down their wedding business rather than being forced to embrace gay marriage. We've got to show all these incidents. Every time you hear about one where a church is being bullied or believers are being bullied in any way, shape, or form, that's got to make news. And we've got to make news on talk radio and on the web and as many places as we can, because the major media will not embrace it.
Dan, thanks so much. Keep up the great work at the Media Research Center. Okay, and the website is mrc.org. Again, mrc.org. When we come back, we go to the tomb. Our Bible lady, Gail Buckley, has our scripture verse of the week. Happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Easter Monday, April 1st, 2013, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Check us out online, EWTN.com. And this particular show, by the way, produced by Ave Maria Radio, we have a new and improved updated website. Check us out, too, at AveMariaRadio.net. Always a blessing to have our Bible lady, Gail Buckley, on the phone with us for our scripture verse of the week. And happy Easter, Gail.
Good morning, T. Blessed Easter Monday to you.
And very, very good stuff, of course. As I've been saying all hour long, he is risen, he is risen indeed. And you are taking us, with our verse, back to the tomb, the empty tomb, more specifically, correct?
That's right. Our verse today is John 20:16. And, you know, if it's okay with you, Teresa, I'd like to set the scene, so to speak, before reading the verse so that it's all in context. That makes more sense? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, yesterday at Mass, we heard the first part of this passage in the Gospel reading. In that reading, we were told that early on Sunday morning after Jesus had been crucified and buried, that Mary Magdalene went to his tomb and discovered it was empty. And she ran and she told Peter and John, who both then ran to the tomb to see for themselves. And you remember that in that Gospel reading yesterday, that John actually ran faster than Peter, and he arrived at the tomb first, and he peeked in, but he didn't enter the tomb. And I just wanted to make one comment on this before going further. Most theologians and Bible scholars agree that it was not because out of fear that John didn't enter the, but it was out of respect for Peter. Because Peter had been chosen by Christ to be the head of the apostles, and when Jesus had renamed him Peter, the rock, and given him the keys of the kingdom, they knew that Peter was their head. So John knew his place, so to speak, and he waited for Peter to enter first, and then he followed. And I just felt that was an important point to make here. So in yesterday's reading, it ended by stating that they saw the empty tomb and the burial cloths laying there and that they believed. In other words, they now realize that Jesus had been telling what he had been telling them all along, that he would rise from the dead, and it was true. So now we get to the rest of the story, so to speak. What we didn't hear yesterday, in the next verse, we're told that Peter and John then left and they returned home. But Mary Magdalene stayed behind at the tomb, and she was crying. She was very distressed. And she's standing there crying, and a man approaches her, and he says, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" And she, thinking that he was a gardener, said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." So now we come to our verse of the week, verse 16, the crescendo. Jesus says to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. You know, this is just so beautiful and so exciting, because can you imagine the emotions that Mary must have experienced at that moment when she realized that Jesus was alive and he was standing right there in front of her, that he had risen from the dead? You know, what joy and elation she must have felt. One moment she's sobbing and grief-stricken, and the next moment she's standing there, you know, seeing him. And so I just can imagine being in her place, standing there in her sandals and hearing our risen Lord speak my name. I'm sure my heart would almost burst with joy. And apparently she was so happy to see him that she immediately grasped him and she was holding on to him.
I love that. Yeah.
Yes, I do too. And can't you just picture her, Teresa, throwing herself at his feet and holding on to his legs and crying tears of joy at the sight of him? And we know that she was holding on to him because in the next verse, Jesus tells her not to cling to him. And he says to her, "Go and tell my brethren that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And, you know, Teresa, I just want to point out, in some Bible translations, this passage reads that Jesus told Mary not to touch him. So there's been a lot of speculation by Bible scholars and others about why our Lord would tell her not to touch him. But in this translation that I read today, it doesn't use the word touch, but rather cling. And Jesus didn't tell her not to touch him, but rather not to cling to him. And the latest and the most popular theory that I've heard is that Jesus didn't want Mary Magdalene to think that he was back for good and that he was going to stay on earth, but he wanted her to realize that he would only be there for a short while before ascending to heaven. And that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, it does. All right, so if we want to find out more about Catholic Scripture Study, which is excellent, I was in it for many years, and I was telling you on Good Friday I ran into one of your students who was involved in the ministry at my parish, St. Joan of Arc in suburban Detroit. What is the best way to find out more information?
If they go to our website, cssprogram.net. I don't know if you even have to use the www anymore, but CSS, that stands for Catholic Scripture Study, cssprogram.net.
All right, my dear, you have a great week. Good to talk to you again. Gail Buckley, Bible Lady. Tomorrow, Abby Johnson. And we'll also take a look at a ministry called Balanced Families. It's a family apostolate of the Diocese of Fort Worth. Have a great Easter Monday. We'll talk to you on a Tuesday. He is risen indeed. Amen.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection as Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness.